Welcome, Crossroads family. It is a joy and privilege to worship with you today. We give honor to Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God, my risen Savior and returning Redeemer. I thank God for your senior pastor, Phil Heller. He indeed has been a brother, a friend, and I thank God for this tremendous opportunity. Can you just help me celebrate your senior pastor and family with a hand clap of praise? And thank God for him in his absence. And I've been very fortunate over the last year to get to know him by way of Mayor Stephanie Terry's interfaith council. And it's been a joy for him to be able to learn me, for me to learn him, and for him to pour in to me. I'm thankful today for the incredible hospitality that I've been receiving from your staff. It's been absolutely amazing. And if you would give me a moment just to kind of fan out just for a bit, I was thoroughly impressed by your snack room in the back. I think I spent more time in the snack room than in the prayer room. So definitely pray for me in that regard. I thank God for my lovely wife who is present today in Guzzy Jackson, my wife of 9 years. And I also thank God for my two precious daughters, Amarachi and Zakora, who are here. But I thank God that they are in your children's ministry. Amen. And so we praise God for them. Let's dive into the word. Today, I'm thrilled to be kicking off this brand new series entitled Hope for Life's Hurts. Hope for Life's Hurt. And I am going to focus in on, my assignment today is to focus in on, lean into loneliness. And so if you would be so gracious and kind to join me in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And I won't read the entire psalm. However, I'll just read several verses that will constitute for our context and our time together today. I'm going to be focusing in on verses 1 through 2, verses 7 through 14, and then finally verses 23 through 24. I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Bible. You'll find these words. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens and you are there, if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Verse 23. Search me, God. And know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Just for the moments that I have to share with you today, I want to give our time together this subject. God knows me. God knows me. Gallup polls share some alarming statistics. 1 in 5 adults report always or often feeling lonely or socially isolated. 30% of adults say they experience loneliness at least once per week. 20% of adults report feeling lonely a lot of the day yesterday. These statistics demonstrate and show us that as human beings, we can be lured into the trap of loneliness. You know, loneliness has a way of making you think that you are the only one. As we take a deep dive into Psalm 139, we discover that God, he is omniscient. He is omnipresent, and he is omnipotent. We serve a God that sees all, that knows all, and a God that is present. And if we were all to be transparent, at some point in time, we've had to battle the internal narrative that says, no one really gets me. No one understands me. No one sees the real me. And this text helps to bring into frame a question that will be answered by God's word. And here is the question: what is the key to conquering loneliness? Psalm 139 helps us to see that the key is to rest in this spiritual insight that God knows me. God knows you. That even when we don't understand the challenges and the hurts, the pains of life, we have a God that understands us. We have a God that gets us. There is a statement that I'm going to use that's going to catapult us into our text today, and I want you to hold on to this. Here it is. Are you guys ready for what I'm getting ready to say? All right, okay, I think you guys got a little bit more energy than the 9 o'clock crew. Are you ready? All right, here we go, here we go. Here is the statement. Just because you are feeling lonely does not mean you are alone. I'm gonna say that again. Just because you feel lonely, it does not mean you are alone. I know perhaps you've received a doctor's diagnosis that in your mind may not be favorable to you. But the good news is you're not alone. I know you may be dealing with depression and anxiety and stress, but the good news is you are not alone. I know you may have been mistreated and betrayed. But the good news today, Crossroads family, you are not alone. The psalmist shows us in Psalm 139, there is nothing or no one that knows us, that understands us better than God. Psalm 139, it opens up and it says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. I want you to get the magnitude, the first couple of verses, because they're going to set up our 3 points for today. I want you to understand this idea that God knows. He knows our words. He knows our works. He knows our ways. And since he knows everything about us, since he knows every intricate detail about us, even though we may feel alone, we're never really alone because God is present. God is in the midst. And in verse number 7, verses 7 through 12, we see our first point. God knows us because God, he is all present. God is all present. Look at the text. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Here is the principle that this text is tailored to teach us. There is no amount of distance that can ever separate you from God. There is no amount of distance that can separate you from God. Even though it feels as if he's not there, God's presence, God's word, God's text is available for you because God is all present. A few weeks ago, my wife, she along with her mother and her brother, they went to London. And family, I was a bit concerned because my wife didn't have a conversation with me to ask if she could go to London. She just kind of shared she's going to London. And as a husband who's been married for 9 years and wants to continue to remain married, I said, of course. So I'm a bit concerned because in this profession of pastoring, weekends are so critical. And I have two active girls, 6 and 3. And when mom's not around, it's a little challenging to keep up with them. So I gotta admit, I was a bit concerned. She told me she was going to London. I'm like, how in the world am I going to be able to manage pastoring and taking care of my girls? It's a lot. Guys, in my eyes, it was a lot. My wife says, don't worry about it. What we'll do, we will install the WhatsApp on your phone. And even though I'll be far away, at any given point in time, you can send me a text. I'll respond and I'll help you through the weekend. It was such a powerful principle for me in understanding that even though my wife, she was over 5,000 miles away, it was refreshing to know that the distance didn't stop the communication. The distance did not stop her from texting me and from me texting her. Crossroads family, I wanted to share with you that regardless of how distant, separated you feel from God, the good news is you can text the one that you have a relationship with. You can text the one that understands you. You can text the one that can give you insight and that can give you direction. There is no amount of distance or separation that can ever separate you from God. He is one text away. His grace is sufficient. He is one text away. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is one text away. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is one text away. It doesn't matter how lonely you feel. If you tap into the text, you can talk to the one who made you. If you can tap into the text, you can tap into the one that knows the purpose, that knows the plan for your life. He's one text away. So distance does not separate us from God. Not only that, but this text reveals to us that darkness, God is all present. Darkness doesn't even separate us from God, because verse 11 says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to me. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. I want you to get the magnitude of this text, that God, he is all present. God is present even in darkness. Here it is. God does his best work in the dark. God created out of darkness. So perhaps if you are in a dark space in this very moment, it is a reminder that the light will show up. And that if the light is present, if God is there, even in darkness, God can help us to navigate through the loneliness, through the pain, through the heartache that we feel. God knows us, point number one, because God is all present. Point number two, I love this, verse 13 and 14. He's an artist. God is an artist. Text says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. God, he is a divine artist. God is the one that created and crafted us. I got to share this with you because this is, I want you to understand the magnitude of this. He's an artist, and he's an artist, and God is an artist, and since he's an artist, God doesn't make junk. We are made in the reflection of his image. So here it is. God crafted you for a calling. God wired you for a work. God destined you for greatness. And the mere fact that I know that is simply because he made you and he made me. Now, I want you to get to understand the magnitude of what I'm getting ready to share. You are valuable not because of the estimation of other people. You are valuable because God made you. That is the cure. One of the cures to loneliness is to remember the one who put me together. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says it like this: for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God is an artist, and since God is an artist, whatever he makes is valuable. Here it is. You got to understand, you got to be careful not to sell yourself short, because oftentimes loneliness can make us forget sight of our life and our purpose, and we don't understand our value. In Minnesota, several years ago, Minnesota, there was a gentleman who was putting on a garage sale. He had this painting, which he thought was not worth much. So, because he thought it wasn't worth much, he sold the painting for $50. Unbeknownst to him, there was a guy who recognized the value of the painting. He bought the painting for $50, but because he understood its value, he realized that it was a Vincent van Gogh painting. And the person who sold it thought it was worthless, but the person who bought it understood its worth. And the guy who sold it thought it was only worth $50. But come to find out, the painting was worth up to $15 million. He understood the value of the painting. Family, all I'm trying to share with you today is to not sell yourself short. You are so valuable. You are so precious. Make sure you understand your value. And even if other people don't understand your value, you can take confidence. You can take pleasure in knowing that there is someone that created me, and he thought I was worth dying for. He thought I was worth going to Calvary for. You are valuable. You're valuable. You're special. You're significant. In moments of loneliness, it's an opportunity for us to lean in to what God's word has said about us. Verse 14 says, I will praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That God's artistry requires adoration. The reason why we've gathered here today is to celebrate our risen Savior and King. That the reason why we've gathered here today in community is to give God so much praise and adoration for what he's done for us. God knows me. He knows me because God is all present. God is an artist. Then the last point, God, there is what I call a God assessment. There is a God assessment. The psalmist realizes the key to me making it through the challenges of life is to connect with the one that made me. Family, may I suggest to you today that if you feel alone, if you feel as if God is not there, now is the time to have a God assessment and to connect with the one who made you. I find it fascinating that the psalmist, verse 23, he says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." If you were to read a couple of verses before, the psalmist, he has enemies. He's like, "Lord, whatever you can do to them, go ahead and do it. Lord, I have enemies. Make sure you take care of them." But I love the fact that he has an inward assessment, because he shifts. He goes from talking about the wrong and the wickedness that's going on around him, and he begins to shine a light on the wrong and so-called wickedness that's on the inside of him. And he says, "Lord, you know me. See if there is any offensive way in me." What God desires to do is God desires for us to have soul work. God wants us in the moments and times in life where it seems to be challenging, when nobody is there, he wants us to be able to connect with him so that God can reveal what's on the inside of us. I got to give you this principle, because it helps us here as we close, that God cannot heal what you conceal. I'm going to say that again. God, he cannot heal what you conceal. And so the psalmist helps us with understanding that it's in prayer that we receive revelation about God in ourselves, that all of us, every day of our lives, should be in tune with conducting a God assessment. That it's not always about what we want and what we think, but it's always about what God is trying to do in us and through us. And the psalmist helps us to see that, "Lord, in order for me to be on the right path, I must invite you in." And family, as we end out today's message, I want you to be reminded that even in loneliness, you can invite God in. In heartache, you can invite God in. And God is so loving, he won't condemn, he won't judge. He will just freely give unto you his love. The reason why I know he will do that is because of Calvary. That one Friday, he went to a hill called Calvary. He thought about your loneliness, my loneliness. I would imagine as he was hanging up on that cross, I would imagine he felt lonely. But even in that moment where he felt distant and away from the Father, God, he was all present. He was still there. The Bible records and declares that he died that Friday. He was buried according to the scriptures. But the good news is, He died according to the scripture. But the great news is he rose with all power in his hand. And because of that, we can rest in this spiritual concept and principle that God knows us. And even in the moments that we feel as if God isn't there, no one is there, we can rest in the fact that God is present. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the wisdom and the insight that you've given to us through your word today. Thank you, God, for reminding us there indeed is hope for life's hurts. God, I pray that you would speak to every person in this room who is facing and dealing with loneliness. Thank you, God, for reminding them that even though they feel alone, that they're not alone, that you are God who is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. And so, God, we thank you that you are God that knows us better than ourselves. Thank you for being all present. Thank you for being an artist and creating us, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And thank you even now, God, for this God assessment. That God, we now reveal the things in us that are not like you so that you may heal them. Lord, we love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.